The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
You're listening to The Pulse on CFRO 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Macy. Today's conversation is with Kelly Tatham. Kelly's running with the Green Party as the candidate for Vancouver Mount Pleasant. And one thing I'm struck by in this conversation is how frank Kelly is. We talk about her relationships in the Downtown East Side, her thoughts on the Strathcona encampment, and her plans for change in the neighborhood. Here's Kelly. Kelly Tatham, what a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Kelly, let's launch right into this. Who is Kelly Tatham and why should we vote for you?
That is a great question. I am, first of all, a concerned citizen. This is my first time stepping into politics. My background is in writing and filmmaking, philosophy, activism. And I decided to run with the Green Party because I'm deeply, deeply concerned about the state of the world. And the more I learn about politics, the more I realize that the system has really been designed to keep people like me out, people with radical ideas who are community orientated. I know a lot of people step into the system with that in mind, wanting to make change, but I think the system really works to corrupt people, because the way it's designed actually doesn't really serve us. So one of the things that I am really excited about is participatory democracy. So not just bringing my voice to the table, not just representing the neighborhood, but actually finding a way to shift the system so everyone can be heard. And so people should vote for me if they want their voice to be heard louder, if they want to participate more, if they want to see massive, massive change. I used to call it radical change, and now I'm just calling it rational change, because what we need is compassion. What we need is pragmatic solutions, straightforward solutions, and they are all available to us. And we need to get the kind of governmental political thinking out of the way and focus on our communities.
Kelly, tell us a little bit about your connections to the Downtown Eastside community. How much you know about the community, how invested you're in it. Just tell us more.
Sure. I've never lived in that part of Vancouver. I've lived all over the city, but the most time I've spent down there, I actually dog sat a little bit in that area. So I've lived there a little bit, but not for a long time. So my experience in the Downtown East Side is just walking through, going from different parts to town. I have not been that involved in the ground down there. I've been watching and paying attention, and like many other people in Vancouver, have been deeply upset by the people who have fallen through the cracks, how we're not supporting them. But I'm being honest with you that I'm new to the issues down there firsthand, and I'm learning a lot. And what I'm most interested in as the MLA would be to talk to the experts down there, to talk to the people on the ground. I've started doing that now, and I've been learning more. And really, that's what my job is to talk to the people who are there and to listen to them, and then to be a conduit for them to make real change.
I appreciate that, Kelly. And I want to ask you this. You're running against NDP candidate Melanie Mark, and Melanie is the incumbent, and Melanie is the first First Nations woman to be an MLA in our province, first First Nations woman to hold a cabinet position. Previously, I believe, also has gone through the foster care system. And representation is certainly not everything. You can be representative of a population, but not be the best voice for the population. But given all that, and the relevancy of her background to folks in the Downtown East Side, why should they vote for you over her?
Thank you. I appreciate that question. It's something that I sat with when I was deciding whether or not to run, because I don't share her embodied experience, and so I'm never going to understand what she understands. And on a much more macro level, I'm asking people to vote for me because I understand what's happening with the climate and ecological crisis and how the NDP have been exacerbating it. They've been making things worse. And we need policymakers who understand the urgency of the crisis, who are doing everything in their power to mitigate it and to reverse it. And the NDP is just not showing us at all that they're capable of doing that. And the Green Party, that is our the ground that we stand on, protecting everyone and the planet and making it a safe place, because things are getting worse very quickly with our climate. On a micro level, on the ground here in Vancouver, I know that Melanie has been doing everything in her power to make change, and I respect her very deeply. But things have only gotten worse. And we need people who are coming in with innovation and creative solutions and finding new ways to make change. I was called last week by the Vancouver Sun about Camp KT in Strathcona Park. And I gave a statement that I wish I could expand on, so I'll expand on it here, because the three of us were quoted the next day in the paper, Melody Mark, myself, and the Vancouver Fraser View candidate, George Affleck, is saying, there's no silver bullet solution, homelessness is complicated. And I regret adding my voice and to that statement, because I don't think homelessness is complicated. I think that it's complex and multifaceted, but I think it's actually really simple. We have to understand that homelessness began when settlers arrived on this land and created the concept of private property. That is the root of this crisis, and we have not resolved that trauma. We have to address that trauma because it is affecting all of us and it pervades our entire culture. Colonialism is also behind climate change. And so we need to speak very clearly to these things, and we need to understand that until we reconcile with the violence that was caused and that has continued to this day, that we are not going to solve that crisis. The NDP has had the opportunity to decriminalize drugs. They haven't taken it. Dr. Bonnie Henry has been calling for safe supply. That hasn't been implemented. These are very simple solutions. I was down at Camp KT today, and I spoke to some of the people in the camp there, and I realized how different their needs are. Politicians keep approaching it as if we can put blanket solutions, if we just build houses, if we just had more mental health support, but every individual down there is different and has different needs and needs to be supported differently. And so we need to be coming up with a very complex plan that is supported on every different level, where we're getting, if possible, one-to-one support for every individual. The way that housing is approached in our city is out of control. We are not holding the reality that housing is a human right. We keep allowing,
I'll pause you for a second there, Kelly, and we'll dig into that during this interview, I'm sure, but first, give us a broader overview. What are your top three policy priorities for the next 4 years if you get elected?
Oh, yeah. Housing is a human right. It's a human right. And I can't speak for the Green Party, but I can speak for myself personally, and what I'll push for within the Green Party is I don't believe that human rights should be profited off. Just like no one should be profiting off of water, selling water to people, no one should be profiting off of housing. And I recognize that that is a bold statement, but I think that now is the time for revolutionary change. We're in a very, very unique moment in time. To carry on, oh my goodness, there's so much. I would say next would be participatory democracy, so everyone's voice is being heard. There's a wonderful idea, concept called citizens assemblies that we're seeing implemented all over the world and has successfully been done in British Columbia previously, where we bring people from every demographic together to listen to experts and to get all of the information they need on a certain issue and to make a decision as a group. And it has been proven that when normal people come together, everyday people come together, they and get the right information in the right context and are given the time to deliberate, they come up with incredible solutions. I don't think that the way that the system is currently working represents us properly or makes change fast enough. So we need a shift in democracy as well. Next, regenerative agriculture. We know that the way that farming is being done is incredibly detrimental to the planet. Tilling the soil, for example, releases incredible amounts of greenhouse gases, is heating up the planet at a rate that we can't sustain. And so when we implement regenerative agriculture practices with proper crop cover and proper use of animals, we create a carbon cycle that sequesters carbon and pulls it out of the air and actually reverses the effects of climate change.
Those are three big juicy platform priorities there, and we're going to have to go right into each one. But this begs the question, Kelly, what would you say to folks who look at you and look at your policy platform and think, this is someone who's too idealistic and is not coming from a place where she understands what the real world looks like and the practicalities of it? What would you say to these folks?
I would agree with them. I am idealistic. And I think that we need idealists, because the way that the system is set up, it's not like I'm going to show up and all of a sudden things are going to fly out of control. It is very regimented. There are all sorts of policies and people in place. And we need people with big picture ideas, with passion, with excitement, who are standing on the ground of humanity, of basic human decency, of human rights for all. We need that to be centered, and I cannot express enough the urgency of the situation. You know this being on the downtown east side. We know this looking at the fires in California, at the political situation in the States. We need urgency. We need big ideas. And our system is set up so that many people are working together. So someone like me who comes in as an idealist will be grounded by the people around me, and I will be pushing them for more and more change, because it is possible.
Do you think, Kelly, that you have a good sense of the collaboration needed in legislature in order to get the radical ideas you have off the ground and put into place?
Like, do I know if I will have the support there or how that will work?
Do you have a plan of how you can see yourself moving forward? Because the ideas you've listed so far are big, and regenerative agriculture is something that's been talked about in many circles and will bring many benefits. But the gulf between where we are now and getting that done is large and will probably require quite a bit of finessing, collaboration, and speak cross-industry input and collaboration. What kind of chomps, or how will you get that finessing done?
Thank you. Yeah. So my background is in filmmaking and the restaurant industry. I've worked over 10 years in bars and restaurants, and I worked on training teams. I trained large groups of people, and I know what it's like to work on a team. You have to work on a team in the restaurant industry, especially really busy, packed restaurants. So I have tons of team experience in my filmmaking work. I've directed. So I've spent a lot of time overseeing actors and cinematographers and editors and collaborating with everyone and hearing different opinions. The work that I do, the writing work, I use a lot of metaphysical metaphors in my writing, and I've done a lot of research on the multiverse and quantum physics. And I use all of that as a metaphor to understand the world. And I know that each of us are seeing the world through our own unique lens. Everyone has a slightly different version of reality to the person next to them, based on our socialization or our upbringing, or whatever it is that we're experiencing in the world, it shapes us to be different. And so I understand that everyone has a different opinion. Everyone has a different lived experience. And what we need to do right now is hold all of these experiences. We have to acknowledge that everyone's experience is valid, even if we don't agree with it, even if we think it's wrong. And that's how I will move forward. That's how I will work in the legislature. And that's how I will work with other people, is by looking at where they're coming from and understanding the root of it, of recognizing that even if I think that their policy is wrong, that they have a reason for bringing it to the table, that maybe that there's some kernel of truth in there that I can learn to understand. And when I approach that with compassion, and when I hold that reality, then and the desire to work with them and to have the common outcome of solutions, I know that we can make it work.
Kelly, let's shift gears and talk about some specific topics. Let's go back to the camp at Strathcona and homelessness in the city. There are no good answers here. We have 300 and I think 80 tents, maybe 200 folks homeless or more at that camp. Very conservatively, 750 people homeless in Vancouver, probably more. Whether we have a managed camp encampment, managed encampment, whether we buy hotels or lease hotels, whether we set a tiny village, there seems to be a tiny home village, there seems to be no good option. What would you do if you became MLA?
Yeah, well, I would start with decriminalization and safe supply and support services. I think that the most important thing is that we're listening to the folks down there and understanding what they want. I know that there are certain demands, in particular wanting land back, the land around Crab Park, to have a healing lodge built. I think that that would be an incredible thing to do. I would push for that. As I said before, there's so much trauma, and so much of the trauma is from the ramifications of colonization, of the white supremacist framework that guides our society. I think we have to look at the bigger picture. We have to understand the individual's voices down there and listen to them. So that would be my first priority, is listening to what they need. I think we need a multi-layered approach. We need to be not just building, not just putting people in hotels or building SROs so people are, you know, tucked away in rooms by themselves. A lot of these people want to be in community. Some of these people might even want to continue to live outside. And I think that as a society, we need to be asking bigger questions. Why do we live in the way we do? Why do we live in condos? Why do we live in houses? Why is it this way? You know, the reason the homeless crisis hasn't been fixed yet is because when we pull on it, there's too many threads. It's so complex. And we have to be asking those big, hard questions. So I'd be following Dr. Bonnie's recommendations. Decriminalizing, safe supply, all of the support systems, the wraparound supports for the people who need it, finding jobs. People want to work. They want to feel fulfilled. They want to contribute to their communities. And there's all sorts of infrastructures that do need to be built. There are jobs available there. And then getting them into homes that suit their needs, that aren't just this, you know, government regulated, one size fits all solution, because that's not the solution. Everyone has different needs. So approaching it on an individual basis as a community, understanding that the reason these folks are in that area is because they've been relegated there, because it is one of the most, if not the most, low-income neighborhoods in the city. And so the rest of the city is ignoring the problem because they don't have to look at it. And so we have to find a way to get everybody on board, understanding that we're all a community together and we all need to take care of each other and everybody needs to be involved.
Kelly, I'm trying to balance both looking at the problems in a holistic big picture sense and also looking at the specific policies you'd like to see implemented. Let me go down the path of looking at some specific policies. You talked about decriminalization and the safer supply. So John Horgan has said that if elected, he's going to fast track decriminalization of simple possession of drugs, regardless of what the federal government says. And the government just implemented expanded safer supplies so that registered nurses can prescribe safer supply. What do you think of those policies? And is there anything, if there is, that you would add?
Thank you. That's a great question. I'm glad that those changes, that shift is already underway. It's frustrating that it hasn't happened faster. I don't have enough information at this point to say what else I would bring to that, but I would listen to the experts who are already working down in the Downtown East Side, and I would follow their advice. You know, there's so much going on, and there's so much complexity there, and I don't hold all of that complexity yet, but I'm really looking forward to learning more about the solutions that the people who are already doing the work are bringing to the table. And I will listen to them, and I will bring their voices forward, because I know that I'm never going to have the experience that they've had, the people who have dedicated their lives to this. And so I don't think that it should be up to me to say it should be this way or that way. My job is to listen to them and to bring what they believe are the solutions and pushing those forward.
Thanks, Kelly. Maybe my last question for you. Why did you decide, why specifically the Green Party? What about the Green Party gives you hope and motivates you to run with them?
Yeah. Well, they were really the only option. They're the only party who are acting with urgency on all of these crises, who want to see people taken care of in the most holistic way possible. Sonia's leadership, I don't know if you're familiar with our new leader.
Sure a lot of us are across the province aren't, so please go ahead.
Yeah, so I trust her. I listen to her and I trust her, and I know that she's looking out for everyone's best good. I know that she's doing everything in her power, and that she's coming from that place, that compassionate place, the mama bear place, the teacher place, of just looking out for everyone and wanting their best and bringing policies to the table that are going to take care of people right away.
Kelly, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your questions and for doing the work that you do.
Take care now.
You too.
And that was Kelly Tatham, Green Party candidate for Vancouver Mount Pleasant. You're listening to The Pulse and CFRO, your super local morning news show here on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Macy. Please tell us what you think of the show. I'm at Macy at coopradio.org. That's M-E-I-X-I at coopradio.org. I love emails. Send me some. Happy long weekend.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.